Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Dale and Keith, middays 10 to 2. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Cam Newton running the football. He's just got to be real careful. He hasn't played in a while. So we can't run that RPO, let the ball squirt out, and then lose it and cause a fumble and give the Broncos a good advantageous position. There are no mulligans in this situation for Cam Newton. He's got to be great. He can't just be good. And he's got to make smart choices. He's got to be really careful with the football. He can't play reckless because they're relying on him so much for so much.
Fourth and final hour of NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy. That was Fourier from his TV hit in the pregame. And it sounds like, guys, 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3 is not good
pretty
enough,
good.
Though.
No, pretty good. No, it's good, though. He said squirt. Didn't say squirts.
Yeah, but you had three
credit.
Words.
But I give him credit for squirt.
I can't do asteroid.
Mulligan.
I didn't have a way to
asteroid.
Get asteroid
well,
in
then,
there.
Well, listen, then, uh-huh. then you didn't. If hey, listen, you've seen plenty of good thrillers and movies,
sure
right?
Have.
We've
yes.
seen Saw. I love Saw.
Love Saw.
Never saw it. Stupid.
You never saw any of the Saws? How do you know it's stupid if you've never seen
right.
it?
I just don't like slasher horror movies. I think they're...
It's more than that.
This one makes you think.
It's a thriller. It's more than that.
It's stupid. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a thriller. But in the
dumb.
Movie... but the purpose of when he says, here's what you need to do to live, you can't do... Two of the three things he tells you.
No, you're dead.
You're dead.
Otherwise, you're
hold
dead.
Hold on. First of all, okay, like, the no one said the key was to try and get some of them in. You didn't say, hey, all or nothing. Okay? Last time I got
go
all
watch
three
Saw.
In, didn't get credit.
he's just upset because he didn't say his word.
Is Saw, like, a good, like, Halloween movie?
Yes.
Saw is an
Arnold
Mulligan.
Saw's a great Halloween movie.
Saw is an amazing franchise. I'd have to say from
I agree.
One through, I don't know how many Saws we've
had. Jigsaw, like 7?
Yeah.
Is it like John Wick-esh?
Well, they're very different.
Yeah, they're very different. But every...
No, but just, the John Wick 1 was like, I loved the first John Wick. The rest were unbelievably terrible.
What?
Wait, what?
Wait,
you didn't like John Wick 2 or 3?
What is
no,
wrong?
What?
Like,
it's
what?
Like the
you're
novelty,
out of your mind.
The novelty wore off.
No, it
so
did
bad.
Not.
John Wick
I
is
like,
a mulligan.
Yeah, seriously, you might want to take a mulligan
I mean,
on
between
that one.
Saw and John Wick, it's like the only, like those are two movies where you go, okay, the sequels are just as good, just as entertaining. I'm not, I
they're
haven't.
They're fantastic.
Right, there's no letdown in John Wick 2
no.
from
oh
John Wick
God.
1.
And Halle Berry in
right.
there.
Oh, man. And it's got me all ready to go for John Wick 4.
Yeah, I can't wait for John Wick 4.
How can you
again,
say that? Is,
again, I'm
Fourier
talking
doesn't
to
like
the,
movies.
Yeah. No, I love movies. I'm
well,
talking
you don't,
to
clearly
the,
you don't.
The comic book crowd. I forgot who I'm dealing with.
Right. Yeah, but it has nothing to do with comic
Geek
books,
one
though.
And two.
No, but it has
dorks.
It has nothing to do with comic books.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the comic books. It's to sit here and say John Wick 2 and 3 was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Christian.
It was terrible. I could not get it. Terrible. Like, enough already.
Oh, you're
enough
out of your
already.
Mind. You're out of your
I
mind.
Get it. He's not Superman. He can't.
He's John Wick.
He's John Wick. Better than Superman.
Better than Superman.
Yeah, Superman's boring.
He don't have any powers, and he's able to do that.
Right. Incredible.
He's the Baba Yale.
That's right. He excels at gun fu.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing.
Classic. I love 2. I love 3. And I loved 1. I don't know if I have a favorite John Wick.
They're
to
all
me,
great.
John Wick They're 2 was the equivalent of Caddyshack 2 and Godfather 3.
What?
There, I said it.
No.
Boom, roasted.
I don't think you saw the right movie.
Yeah,
is that how it works? Boom, roasted?
Yeah, right. that applies. Yeah, boom, roasted.
He's got to go to Europe because of, you know, he owes this guy with the blood, blood oath.
They're all after
Come
him.
Come on, they're all after
Come on.
Then you go to 3 and it's like...
Ooh. 3 was fantastic.
Right,
I'd rather watch Mission Impossible 3.
Well, 3 with the
well, those aren't bad either.
3 with the with the Chinese guy who was after him, and and his crew
that
was
that fight in the Hall of Mirrors. There,
his crew was super lethal.
Yeah,
them dudes were super.
They were ninjas,
dangerous.
Yeah, they were super lethal.
When he killed Boban with a book in the library?
That was true, right? Like, that was a nice one. Put that right in his mouth. And the two guys from John Wick 3.
Yeah.
The two twins,
yeah,
they are in a lot of martial art movies. I don't know if you've seen them before.
They look good.
But yeah, wow. I mean, that was...
Boy, I opened up a can of worms on this
one. Wow.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to watch them again.
And then they come in with... And then they have those special suits in John Wick 3 where they're like bulletproof, so they have to get the special bullets.
So good.
So hold on. Just to kind of show you, a couple movies that I walked out of. Walked out of Rain Man, first time I saw it. Didn't like it at all.
Really?
And
it's an Oscar winner?
I also walked out of Pulp Fiction.
So that's nuts. Pulp Fiction's fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, like Rain Man, fine. Pulp Fiction's great.
You know, but I will say, now I love it, though.
Oh, you do? Oh,
because
that's not filmed in order. I don't get it. I'm confused. This already happened. These guys are dead. How are they on the screen?
Yeah.
it's great. So you learn to love that one.
Yeah, but we know now that we can't really take Christian seriously when it comes to...
Movies.
Yeah, movies.
Oh, wait. I feel like it's the reverse. I can't take you guys seriously.
Yes, you can. No. We're movie experts.
Yeah, I'm movie experts.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah. Savants.
All the comic book movies.
Yeah, like, but those are just
Spider-Man. I guarantee you that Keith's top 10 movies all include some movie from a comic book.
That's not true.
No, I do question there was
some sort
that
of
is
like
not entirely
superhero.
True.
I did question. I know
it's not entirely
I
true.
I did question Keith's top 25 when he didn't have Django up there. But you know, I do give Keith credit. He does know a lot of movies.
Thank you.
He's not as worldly as me when it comes to it. But Christian,
Sorry.
I mean to say that John
Wick.
Please,
you guys
hate foreign films.
You guys,
how can you call yourself worldly?
Huh?
You hate foreign films.
I don't hate all foreign films. I told you I watched the Platform.
Nothing with subtitles.
Platform was good.
Yeah, I watched the Platform.
Platform
I want to know.
I did like the Platform.
I didn't
like
Parasite.
The ending.
Did anyone see?
No,
I did see Parasite.
See,
I can't
watch subtitle movies.
Parasite was in my top 5 from 2019.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know it was a foreign film
did
when I walked
like
into
it.
The theater.
Oh, really?
I tell you what, it's a lot.
You didn't like Parasite?
You know, it was an Oscar-winning movie that I thought was going to be Oscar. Well, I guess I shouldn't even use it. It just was not what I was expecting. It was all right.
It was all
but
right.
It wasn't worthy of an Oscar.
Yeah,
I
was
liked good.
It a lot. I wish they would have did it like a kung fu movie and dubbed over the voices. I don't want to sit there and read through the whole movie because then that takes away from me really seeing the movie. And that's why I don't think you can any subtitled movie you can't put up there and say it's a good movie because you're too busy reading.
Here's my top 10 from 2019.
Okay. All right, come on.
All right.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, number 1.
Oh,
Avengers
yes.
Endgame, number 2.
Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit, 3. Parasite 4, Joker 5, John Wick 3, 6, Uncut Gems 7,
okay.
Dolomite Is My Name,
okay.
8,
oh my god,
Star Wars,
oh my god, oh my god,
9,
I can't,
and Knives
I can't
out
even
10.
Listen to this. You're insane.
Dolomite, what?
Jojo Rabbit?
Jojo Rabbit was fantastic.
I watched Jojo Rabbit again on Friday night.
I haven't turned that one off.
You I haven't seen that yet.
You didn't finish Jojo Rabbit?
No, I couldn't finish
I gotta watch that one. All right, I haven't
so
seen
Fourier,
it
yet. What was the best movie that came out last year?
Well, first of all, I got to go back and look at my list.
I just gave you a hell of a list.
Like
I just gave you 10
well, that
right
was
there.
Your list because you did a whole thing on it. But what else did you have? Say it to me again.
Dolomite was my name. I would
Once
have
Upon
that,
a Time in Hollywood.
I would have that higher on my list.
Endgame.
Endgame was all right.
Jojo Rabbit,
I'm with
Parasite.
You on that one. Endgame was all right.
Keep going.
Joker.
Joker was good.
Stupid.
John Wick 3.
John Wick 3
stupid.
Was good.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems was good.
I haven't seen it.
Star Wars.
I'm not really a huge Star Wars guy.
That probably, that shouldn't be that high.
I hated it.
Knives Out.
Knives Out was number one.
Is that
Knives
the one?
Out should be your number one.
Is that the one
with
Who Done It?
With James Bond, the guy
Chris Evans, yeah, Daniel Craig, yeah.
Knives Out.
I haven't seen
Knives
that
Out
one.
Is easily the best movie out of all your stupid movies.
The Gentleman was.
They're calling them all stupid, but you can't name a second one that you like.
The Gentleman was good. The movie with Matthew McConaughey.
I don't know if I saw that.
Matthew McConaughey.
I'll check that out.
Came out this year.
Colin Farrell.
This year.
Was it this year?
Okay.
Okay, I didn't remember what year it was.
I can't believe you have Knives Out so far back.
Yeah, I thought it was a little
Dolomite
overrated.
Dolomite I'd have high. Dolomite.
That's got the usual suspects written all over. It's like a modern day whodunit with a lot of twists. I thought it was fantastic.
All right, we're going to steer it back to football now. We had a chance to talk with Tommy Kern earlier in the program, and I started out by asking him the same question I asked these guys, and that is, why, with everything going on COVID for this team, are the Patriots playing today, but they didn't play last week?
Well, with last week, in the wake of the Stephon Gilmore positive after they had come back from Kansas City, there was still an incubation period going on, and there was still an awful lot of trepidation that, okay, the Patriots could be headed down the same road the Tennessee Titans were. They shared the plane, just as the Titans did, and then there were 25 outbreaks in Tennessee. As the week went along, even though Byron Cowart tested positive on Sunday, the Patriots had spent so many days out of the facility and separate, as opposed to what the Titans did. And there were so many days of negative tests strung together that I really believe I know that the Patriots and the league both started to feel a sense of not ease, but comfort with, okay, we've got this sequestered and quarantined in a way that we weren't able to do with Tennessee. The team has taken precautions that are above and beyond. Now with Ferentz, you know, that's a situation where you must know where it came from. It's not as if it's something that is completely, you know, off the wall in that there's an incubation period that still exists. It is almost 2 weeks since he was getting a face full of cam, one supposes, on the Friday practice. But the incubation period, that's instructive, I think, to all of us, too. The incubation period, if he did get it from Cam Newton, can go up to 2 weeks. In Stephon Gilmore's case, it can go to 4 days. So those are a couple of reasons. Also, there's no wiggle room. There was wiggle room last week when the Patriots said, we really don't want to play this football game, and made it very clear to the NFL that they could say, okay, all right, we're going to erase both your bye weeks and you'll play next week. But there's no wiggle room right now. And I also think that the Patriots players are less, not comfortable with it, but I think that there's a greater level of learning and understanding right now. Dr. Alan Sills talked about it this week. If we feel that we know where the positives are coming from, it's easier than if we don't. And I think that that was the situation that existed last week.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because I feel like this situation kind of had to happen for at least just specifically the Patriots players to kind of buy in on and all the suggestions coming from Bill or the league. That's why when it happened, I don't know, you tell me, like when we found out there was more tests, I didn't even worry about it. I knew that they have gone through the roughest patch and they would just figure it out.
Yeah, and when you see these guys come back, and there is obviously no reason to be lackadaisical about how deadly and serious the disease can be for some folks, but when you keep seeing your teammates come back and they didn't know that they had it, and they're asymptomatic throughout the process, and then they come back and they're able to practice, there's not a comfort level, but it's a greater or less a sense of unease about, oh my God, what would happen? So, I mean, it's just human nature, and to deny that, even though I understand how drastically difficult and tragic it's been across the country, I think that still you look at your own personal situation and say, we'll probably be okay individually, it's just as long as we keep it away from our families.
So, Tom, do you think moving forward, just not just with the Patriots, but the rest of the NFL, do you think the NFL is at a point where it's like, all right, we're starting to see, because of some of these new protocols, where even if you're in close contact with somebody, you got to isolate for a couple days, you start to see the league going, you know what, unless it's a serious Tennessee outbreak, if it's two, three, four guys, we're going to kind of move forward and play these games because we don't have much wiggle room.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And I think you're going to see more and more practice squad players coming up, as they are going to today with the Patriots, because they have players moving on to that high-risk close contact, even though they were not confirmed positives. So that's Derek Rivers and Shaq Mason. So you're going to see more and more teams, I think, having to dip into that practice squad that was expanded this year because of COVID, because there's going to be more attention paid to you're a high-risk close contact. I know you look great, you feel great, but that's the breaks. So we're going to move you off, and that's going to make other players, I believe, and the teams and coaches feel like they're on it. You know what? Let's play the game. They're on it. The league is at a point now where they are steadfast. They're away from plane rides. They're away from, you know, let's have a captain's practice after five guys get sick. We're on it.
Tom, what do you think the offensive line is going to look like today? It seems like they've been hit the hardest by all this stuff.
No doubt. I mean, with Andrews, Mason,
Ferentz.
And Isaiah Wynn. And Ferentz, excuse me, Andrews, Mason, and Ferentz out. Wynn is a little diminished as well. So you're going to see, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Caleb Benenock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Has been summoned.
Yep.
Joe Tooney, I don't know who's going to play center. I mean, no Andrews, no Ferentz. So, I mean, this is the type of thing that enters into it when we look down our noses at an opponent like the Denver Broncos, for a team that I still say a Patriots team that is rebuilding and rebooting. When you have a completely remade offensive line, God bless the work that's been done by Carmen Brasillo and Popovich, but it's hard to just go out against an NFL team with a bunch of guys who are on the practice squad or are in different positions and just roll it out there and say, we got this. You can't compete with us.
So with that in mind, when you're looking at the Denver Broncos defense, like, who's the most dangerous guy that the Patriots would need to worry about?
Bradley Chubb. Yeah. 100%. So he's a fifth overall pick 2 years ago, ACL last year. This year he had kind of had a slow start, but now he's playing much better, and he wreaked havoc on the Jets. A lot of people wreak havoc on the Jets. So, but he was a pain in the ass for the Jets with 2.5 sacks, a couple forced fumbles and tackles for loss. So he's a problem. And the Patriots and Bill Belichick thought really highly of him when he was coming out. So that's going to be a player that is going to be matched up on what might be a diminished Isaiah Wynn at left tackle as he was on the injury report with a calf.
Don't you think that their only issue, or I mean, I know they have multiple issues, but when you're talking about the offensive line, isn't it really about who's going to play left guard? Because it seems like you were able to plug in Illuminor at right tackle, Owenu at right guard. You can probably put Karras at center.
Tooney at
center. And then you obviously got a little banged up Wynn. And your left guard is like, all right, that's the area that we have to try to figure out.
Yeah, but Mason's gone too. So right guard is a situation.
Well,
am I missing something?
Well, then when you played right guard when Mason was out, or when Tooney was moved to center, he played guard and actually played pretty well.
He was good.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's like something that they can look at and go, okay, we've had him play a full game before in a Wenyu. He played good at guard. Now the only issue that we have is rather than trying to figure out who plays center, we've had Tooney play there before. Now we just got to figure out who is going to fill that guard spot. I think that's probably what the Patriots.
Yes, but you're talking about 80% of the line is moved around.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other 20%'s got a bad calf. So, I know that you're acknowledging that it's not ideal, mm-hmm. but at least you got a working plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's Caleb Benenoff. God bless him. I mean, he could go down in Patriots lore, guys.
Yeah.
This could be Caleb Benenoff's day.
We're going to remember it. Remember October 18th, 2020.
But think about how concerned we were when Andrews got hurt and Tooney had him. And then.
They were great.
And
They've
then when you came in, and I think it was the Kansas City game, and we're like, all right, not bad.
It was good.
So I think all I'm saying is when you look at like the line that you have, I know you've had to move around a lot of pieces, but, you know, four out of the five guys that are playing on that line have showed that they could, you know, played before.
Tom, it's been interesting.
Right.
I know Belichick made the comments about how difficult it is for this rookie class, like not just for the Patriots, but just around the league, how the offseason was so different, no preseason games and everything else. And on the one hand, I would want to agree with it. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? These guys, it is tough, and it could be like a red shirt year for most of them. But when you look around the league, you see a lot of rookies doing really well, including a couple of starting quarterbacks. You also look on the Patriots, and Kyle Duggar's been good, and Michael Onwenu has been really good.
Right.
So I understand. It seems like almost an excuse for, say, the tight ends or Jennings or Uche. But you have guys in your own locker room that have had just as many opportunities of practice who are doing well. So I don't know. I feel like those guys, we can already call them a bit of a letdown. Not busts. It's way too early for busts. But mm-hmm. a huge letdown considering you traded up and you used third-round picks on tight ends, and they're useless.
Right.
One guy can't even play. And then the two linebackers at a position of need can't even make any kind of an impact.
Wasn't one rookie
How do you know they can't even play?
They haven't
How
played.
How do you know they can't?
I know they – well, because okay, Bill's telling me they can't play. Well, they haven't been out there is what I mean. And, no, I'm not calling them a bust. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, this guy's never going to do it. I'm just saying they – both very much at positions of need.
It's
if anything,
absolutely friggin' mystifying.
Okay,
if you have a traffic cone in Brian Izzo is out there playing tight end, and you're starting from negative one with him.
Yes,
as far as his 2019 season was concerned. So to say, wow, he's playing much better. Okay, so what's he at a four? I mean, it's just not even good.
No,
so. The cartwheel's being turned, and the same thing happens with N'Keal Harry sometimes, too. Oh, wow, he had seven catches for 72 yards. All right, he's never been over 40 yards in a game other than that one game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got to have a higher expectation level, and maybe today will be the day that he does that. But, yeah, you're right. The expectation level should be high for two third-round pick tight ends in an offense that previously did a lot with tight ends. I mean, that's a route that you guys, I mean, that's why you guys are on the radio here.
See, Tom, I feel like this is the biggest concern to me was they usually bring in older guys with young guys, not young guys to mentor young guys. Like they bring in, mm-hmm. you know, mature guys with a lot of experience to mentor those guys. Not a guy that has none, it's never really played and has no credibility, but whatever. I think Ryan Izzo's for the most part, he's all right. He's not the biggest problem. But I do believe that by watching Asiasi that this feels like the week where they give him some opportunities. Like design plays. Let's throw it to Asiasi. Let's let him make a play. Let's get the ball in his hands. He's had days where he's had some decent amount of reps, just special teams mm-hmm. or none at all. But I do feel like, Matt, you're into the sixth week. I mean, if you don't know it and you don't trust him by now and he's healthy, I don't know what's going on. So I feel like this is the week that I think that he's, I'll say, a small showcase. How about that?
Wow.
Great idea.
Small showcase.
I mean, he played 30
snaps.
I think he played 8 snaps against Kansas City. Just put it in his hands on a 1st and 10 or a 2nd and 7 and
easy.
See what happens.
He can't run a 5-yard out? I mean, come on.
Of course he can. And that's the thing. Just work it in is my, you know, easy for me to say. Josh McDaniels makes millions of dollars and has been doing it for a long time. There's a reason behind it. But just get the ball in the frigging guy's hands and see what's going on there. Because it's a component of the offense to me that needs to appear when you're when Damier Byrd and Julian Edelman are your prime offensive targets who are not running backs, and I still don't think N'Keal Harry has risen to that level. I think Byrd has had a better year than him, and I think Edelman, even with the drops, has had a better year than him. Then you have to do something to augment that, because Julian's banged up and Damier Byrd is, you know, a souped-up Philip Dorsett. You're going to need more guys at some point, and better to do it now when there's still leaves on the trees and try and find out at Thanksgiving, can we give it to him or not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you asked the reason. I think the reason is simple. I don't think they think he's, I don't want to say good enough, just ready. So I guess my question would be, Tom, is if you know the trade deadline is a couple weeks away, these guys are clearly not ready because of the opportunity that you have here as a on this team at tight end. You're going to have plenty of chances to get the ball. And if you're not getting those opportunities, that tells me that they don't think that you're ready. So trade deadline a couple weeks away. Don't you think they have to make a major splash on getting somebody to help bolster that passing game?
I do think that they need to do that. I think the wide receiver is the place where you have to probably concentrate more readily because mm-hmm. you're winning games and competitive against good teams. You got two moral victories. That's a huge tiebreaker this year.
It should factor in.
That has to.
I would assume it will. Yeah.
I mean, you got to get Edelman's reps down, and you have to realize facts is facts. Damier Byrd at 5'10", 188 pounds is not going to be someone you can concentrate on. Also, too, though, guys, you have to, I think, consider what are the Patriots offensively and what are they going forward? You have the Mohamed Sanu situation last year that is fresh in their minds as to we gave up some collateral and what did we get? Nothing in return. Do we want to keep doing that? And what kind of a player do we want to get? Do we know if Cam Newton's going to be back here or not? It's interesting. I do want to, it's really relevant to nothing. But when you talk about mentoring at that position and Ryan Izzo, when you think back to Gronk and Hernandez, they had Algie Crumpler in 2010, who was full-on professional player, I think made a big difference for those guys. And by about this time in that 2010 season, this is when Gronkowski started to make an impact.
Well, I ain't doing nothing, so I can go mentor them.
I got two mentors right here on the show. Get them
and
down
I'll
there.
Take one of those paychecks.
Tom, you got to mask up, Wiggy.
That's up fine with me. I ain't getting no reps. All I got to do is be a mentor.
That's it. Tom, how do you see this one playing out today?
Well, without Fant, I think it changes things around. Like I said, I don't think the Patriots can afford to look down their nose at anybody at this point because, you know, defensively, they still, you know, they get shredded by Seattle. I thought Oakland shot itself in the foot. Kansas City got out-schemed, but I still think that there is some artillery on that offense with Tim Patrick. I know. Look out, Tim Patrick.
No, he's been good, yeah.
Yes. Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, and Philip Lindsay. It's a fast offense. So I don't think they're worth – I don't think it's a great idea to take it lightly, but Fant not being there kind of harpoons my idea of, oh, this might be a shootout. I don't know if it's going to be shootout level.
All righty,
so
Tom.
I said 31-24.
31-24, so not covering. All right. You're taking the points.
That might change, but no Fant. They're Fantless. They're without
they
Fant.
They are Fantless. Yeah. It's a good point.
He's a good tight end. Pants. There's no thing said. They're pantsless. Yeah.
They're also without pants.
He's a good tight end, unlike the Patriots.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots and Broncos kick off at 1 o'clock from Gillette Stadium. Brian Hoyer inactive, meaning Jarrett Stidham will serve as the backup to Cam Newton this afternoon. Your other inactives are Dalton Keene, J.J. Taylor, Miles Bryant, and Carl Davis. For Denver, they will be without running back Melvin Gordon and tight end Noah Fant. Of course, the Pats placed three players yesterday on the reserve COVID-19 list. Sony Michel, Shaq Mason, and Derek Rivers. This a day after James Ferentz tested positive for COVID. Local college football, BC got blown out by Virginia Tech 40-14 yesterday. The Bruins have re-signed Matt Grizzlick to a four-year deal worth $14.75 million. And in the baseball playoffs, the Tampa Bay Rays are going back to the World Series, and there will be a Game 7 in the NLCS between the Dodgers and Braves. I'm Rich Keefe. We'll go around the NFL coming up next. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Value on the home for Patriots fans. WEEI.
Final half hour of NFL Sunday. It is week 6 in the league. Patriots taking on the Broncos at 1 o'clock. We'll make our picks coming up on that game and a couple others in just a moment. But time to go around the NFL. Let's start with the 1 o'clock games. Here we go. The 4-0 Titans on a short week hosting the 1-4 Texans. Game 2 of Romeo Crennel is the head coach who got a win last week. Anything jump out to you? Titans, Texans.
Vrabel matchup with his former defensive coordinator, Romeo Crennel.
Yeah. Good one.
That's about it.
I would like to see, now that the party is over and everybody has left the building and everybody's all like just shining all over the Tennessee Titans, I would like to see how they respond on a short week with really none of the whole hurrah and, you know, that comes from a Mike Vrabel team. I'd like to see how they respond.
Yeah. Because I think there are some might say they are the best team in the AFC. At least the way that they played, beat the any blue doors the Bills.
Any chance the Texans would be willing to deal J.J. Watt?
Maybe. Yeah, they
so
could.
Another loss would be good.
Another loss, yeah. They go to 1-5.
And maybe the Pats go after J.J. Watt.
I guess they could. You have Colts and Bengals. Indy is 3-2, coming off a loss to the Browns. The Cincinnati Bengals won 3-1. They got spanked last week by Baltimore.
I'm going to go Colts on this one.
Yeah, I would think so. They're pretty heavy favorites.
Look out, Phillip Rivers. Don't throw four interceptions.
Yeah, he
stinks.
He's always the wild card, man.
He's worse, though. Like, he had a bad year last year, and it's just he's kind of picked up from there.
Right.
Which is even worse, Keith and Wiggs, is that when you hear Frank Reich kind of defend him, it's so pathetic. It's like it's so obvious that he doesn't believe any of the stuff that's coming out of his mouth.
Right, and he's making $25 million.
You could have Cam Newton for $2 million or Phillip Rivers for $25.
Or you can have Cam Newton for $30 million next year.
Yeah, well, that's what may turn out.
You know, I think Phillip Rivers' problem is he's probably thinking ahead to his high school head coaching job. That's what I think the problem is.
He probably is. He's probably, you know, coming up with strategies and his playbook and everything else. Good point. The Atlanta Falcons are 0-5. They have a new head coach. They are on the road against the 1-4 Vikings.
Falcons stink, though.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing if they're going to trade Julio.
Well, and will they trade Matt Ryan in the offseason? Some have suggested that maybe they could, especially if they go, you know, if they have the worst record. If they get Trevor Lawrence, they're going to have
to. If they go that road, John Anderson, of trading Matt Ryan.
How does that work, cap-wise?
Don't they tear it down then? Do they also trade Julio Jones and just build around Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley?
I mean, I think you'd want Julio Jones with Trevor Lawrence, right?
I also think Arthur Blank said that the Julio Jones decision, like the Matt Ryan one, he'll let the next GM make, which kind of rules them out of even making any trades this year, which is kind of stupid. I mean, you'd get more for Julio right now than if you wait till the end of the year. Let's do that one after. The Giants, 0-5 against the 1-4 football team in what would have to be like the one game that if it was in your backyard, you wouldn't watch.
Yeah, but wow. I feel like
this one stinks.
I feel like these two teams have a chance to still win their division.
I suppose they do. I suppose that's true.
You know, it's so funny though. It's like I just keep going back to the very first week when Washington won. They won their first game, and there was so much optimism after that win from their coach and from everybody else. This team,
Dwayne Haskins.
They're a bunch of fighters. No, they're not.
They are not. And
they're
not.
But the Giants stink, though.
Giants do stink. They're real bad. Also in the NFC East, you have the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 1-3-1 hosting the 4-1 Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore should roll in that one.
Carson Wentz has been bad.
He's bad.
I thought he was a lot better than this. He's
What would you call this? His senior slump? Is he a senior?
Yeah, I know, right.
A senior? Where is he at right now? Does he not get? Does he have a red shirt?
Well, I think what we're realizing
is Jalen Hurts time.
Maybe the 1 year was the outlier.
Yeah,
maybe
before he got hurt. Like, yeah, right before he got hurt.
Right, he was looking like the MVP, and I mean he was good last year. He had the crazy stat about no receivers with over 50 catches or whatever the hell it was. He put up decent numbers a year ago, but
that was towards the end of the year. I felt like
Yeah, this year's bad. He's got more picks than touchdowns, and they're off to a terrible start. So I'd assume the Ravens roll. This one's huge. Now, we'll pick this one coming up. Monster game in the AFC North. 4-0 Steelers hosting the 4-1 Browns.
Your MVP, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield's my guy. The Browns had, I think, a pretty legit win last week against the Colts. Now, we just made fun of Phillip Rivers, but that is a good defense in Indy, and they got some good players around them. And you're wondering, when is it going to fall apart for the Browns? They lost week one badly to the Browns, and to the Ravens. They have then ripped off four straight wins, and now playing a team that's undefeated and really their rival. Sort of a one-sided rivalry but it's their rival.
I can't take the Browns seriously until week 14.
Oh, so they got some time then?
Because they fall apart too much for me.
Yeah,
if they're still playing well in week 14, I'll take them seriously.
All right, what about the 3-2 Panthers hosting the 4-1 Bears?
God, the Bears.
How on earth are the Bears
4-1?
Because
Nick Foles looked bad.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I would say, how are the Panthers 3-2?
Good point. They're 3-0 without McCaffrey.
Yeah, I feel like, man, I did not think that Matt Rhule and Teddy Bridgewater would make would be this successful this early. I really thought it was going to be more of a you-know-what show.
Yeah,
but
they're a little scrappy down there.
But Bridgewater, yeah, they are. You said it. Like, Bridgewater is pretty good. I mean, I just, a whole year of just kind of, sitting pretty much with the Saints, and he had those three wins in a row as a starter when Brees got hurt.
Yeah,
man, it was pretty impressive.
And what's also interesting is Robbie Anderson is another one of those guys in the long line.
Yes.
You leave Adam Gase and you become a real good player.
That's right. He was on my list of players that were so successful after they left Adam Gase.
He's great. 1-3 Lions against the 1-4 Jaguars. We had a caller, Christian, when you were away, ask if Matt Patricia loses this one, will this be his last game with Detroit?
Man, it doesn't look good for him but I would say that, hell, if they fire him, they got to fire
Quinn.
The GM there, Quinn. Also, they're gonna have to do both because Quinn was one that brought him in after they had a winning record,
right?
With so the fact that you can't do better than that.
I know.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep him there.
In the AFC East, you have the 0-5 Jets against the 2-3 Dolphins.
Man, the Jets stink. When's he getting fired? I'm surprised he ain't going to fire yet Adam Gase.
May be the worst hire. When I think about guys that never proved anything, like, how did he get another job?
I don't know.
Makes no sense. And he got it immediately. He didn't wait around. It wasn't like a season off or even like a couple of weeks off. He got the job immediately.
And the other thing is, like, I would like to say, okay, he interviews really well, so he's got everybody fooled. He goes in there and he wows them on the chalkboard and he has this great plan. But when you look at him and his press conference,
amazing.
You go,
crazy
how
eyes.
Did he fool them?
Crazy eyes. Must
How did he do it?
It must have been like when he went in for the interview, they were just looking at his crazy eyes and didn't hear anything he said.
They were like, let's hire him.
I feel like Jack Easterby's the same way. Like, how do these guys have all these owners fooled?
It's a good question.
That's
another game that we're going to pick here coming up, the 4-0 Packers at the 3-2 Buccaneers.
So
but that's
be
awesome.
A good game.
Rodgers and Brady, that's awesome. The Sunday night game,
The 4-1 Rams at the 2-3 49ers.
I think the 49ers are starting to fall apart.
So many injuries. Like the Broncos. They have so many injuries, it's hard to really know what the real team is.
They're coming. But. Well, I think you know what the 49ers are? Here's what they are. They are the Atlanta Falcons / L.A. Rams.
Yeah, the year after the Super Bowl loss.
And then they go back to who you really are.
Yeah, but that is it's so funny because I have a buddy of mine that coaches for the 49ers, and he was like, man, the league is not set up for us to be good 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. It's just not set up that way. And because we were talking about the Rams situation, the very next year, the Rams were 9-7.
Right.
They didn't make the playoffs, and you go, wow, they really fell off. They were 9-7. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a winning record in most divisions. That's a player. You're a playoff
team.
Does
he mean the league's not meant for the 49ers? Or
just in general. Well, like the way the league is set up, like it's hard to have sustained success. Contracts, cap room,
Kansas City's
injuries.
Doing it.
Yeah,
well, there are outliers. I'm not going to act like there aren't guys.
Well, of course,
can do
the Patriots are, but it's all about the scheduling too. It's one of those things where you now have a first place schedule. They happen to be in a good division, so it's the Rams twice, the Seahawks twice, and now all of a sudden the Cardinals are
Seahawks
good.
Seahawks have been good for a long. I think it's more about the personnel.
No, but they have that. But look at once they lost the Legion of Boom. Go look at how they struggled to make the playoffs. They struggled to be good.
I also think it's the quarterback, and I think you didn't really have you don't have a good one in Garoppolo. You have a game manager in him, and now teams are starting to, maybe take advantage of, okay, he can't just manage games all the time.
Yeah, after Seattle lost the Super Bowl, they lost in the division round, missed the playoffs, lost in the wild card round, lost in the division round.
Well, they're still a playoff team.
But right, 4 out of 5 years, though, they still made
the
playoffs.
Do you even think San Francisco's making the playoffs
this
year?
Not this year. No, right. I don't. And you got a Monday Night Football doubleheader, which I feel like could be a theme all season long. Chiefs and Bills, the 5 o'clock game
tomorrow.
I don't
mind that.
Both are 4-1.
I'll watch that.
I like that a lot. I think we could learn a lot about the Bills, for sure.
And the Chiefs.
Bounce back. Yeah. Can they?
Yeah.
So Le'Veon Bell isn't playing, though.
No.
But this is going to be like, are the Chiefs, not that they're not for real, but are they kind of like.
Yeah, because they're coming off a loss, so like, how do they respond
right,
to that?
Right, are they hitting a little bit of a sophomore, not that they won't make the playoffs and everything, but, a team's starting to figure them out a little bit.
Could be.
So I think that's going to be interesting to watch this game with the Chiefs.
And
then, like you said, it's Buffalo for real.
And then should be a ton of points scored in both of these games. So, again, it's Bills-Chiefs in the early game, and then Cardinals-Cowboys. Arizona's 3-2. Dallas is 2-3.
Yeah, Dallas is done.
Oh, God, you get
to
yawn.
Yeah, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that's a yawner. That's a yawner right there.
All right, so there's your Week 6 slate in the NFL. When we come back, we will find out how we did picking games in Week 5 and pick 3 games for this weekend. You're listening to NFL Sunday, and it's brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
All right. Before we get to our picks and get out of here on a Week 6 edition of NFL Sunday, according to all the beat guys down there at Gillette, like Mike Reese and Phil Perry and others, the Patriots offensive line during warmups looks like this. At left tackle, rookie Justin Herron. Left guard, Isaiah Wynn. Center, Joe Tooney. Right guard, rookie Mike Onwenu. And right tackle, Jermaine Illuminor. That's a little bit of a change, huh? Kicking Wynn into guard. I know Herron, Belichick said he worked out at guard at practice, but he was a tackle at Wake Forest where he was only a tackle at Wake Forest.
So maybe that's probably, because Wynn played guard, a little bit of guard at Georgia.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an easier transition.
So Herron goes from right tackle to left tackle.
Yeah.
Wynn goes in. Tooney back to center. Onwenu gets another shot at guard after having a great game against the Chiefs. And Illuminor is back.
Yeah.
So they felt like
whoever the guard who's the other guy that they were talking about putting at guard? I forget what the other lineman name is that Tommy.
What you need to do is find the backups to these guys. See,
good luck.
That's what happened. So you could survive.
Froholtz,
like
right?
You can get by with one injury at one position. When you start having multiple injuries at the same position, you just run out of guys.
It is amazing when you look at what the starting offensive line was for Week 1 and what you hoped it would be for most of the season. None of it is in play now. 3/5 None. Of it is gone.
Right.
And then Tooney's playing a different position and Wynn's playing a different position. And yet they've been good.
Yeah.
They've been,
the O-line hasn't been an issue.
Let's see if they can keep that up. But, interesting, at least based off of the pregame warm-ups. All right, time now for our picks. Every week we pick three games against the spread: the Patriots game, Tom Brady's game, and one other mystery game as chosen by our producer, John Anderson. John, how did we do in week 5?
Well, Jermaine Wiggins was the only one who picked the Las Vegas Raiders to either cover or in general. I don't think he picked beat, but he said cover.
He did.
So Jermaine Wiggins has tied Rich Keefe actually now because of that pick. So on the year, Keefe and Wiggy tied at 9-6. Fourier drops down to 6-9.
Oh. It should have been 3-0 last week.
Should have been.
Yeah, should have been.
Right where I want to be.
But Fourier, as he points out every week, doesn't care, so don't.
Wiggy don't had worry. The radical pick of picking the Ravens.
Right.
And Keefe and Fourier picked Joey Covers, who did not cover.
Joey Cover let us all down last week.
Joey Cover didn't cover, and the Ravens covered.
Yeah, let us all down. So, John, what's our first pick and spread?
We will start with the Patriots. We've got the Denver Broncos plus 7.5.
Oh, well, Cam Newton's playing, so I will take the Patriots to cover. The Broncos, I know they're mad. I know they're upset that the game got moved, but no Noah Fant, no Melvin Gordon. Drew Locke's back. Who knows what he's going to look like after missing a few weeks. So give me the Patriots to cover.
Yeah, just because you're mad means nothing. So I'm with you on that one. I like the Patriots to covering too.
Yeah, I'll make it a 3-fer.
Next up, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
good breakdown for you. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I know we're under a time constraint, so, you know, what do you want me to do?
We had time there.
All right. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Ready
to hit the bricks.
We've got Brady Rodgers on Fox at 425.
I'm excited.
Current line is Packers -2 on the road against the Buccaneers.
Oh.
Wow. I'm going to go Bucks.
I'm going to take the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers, too. I think the Bucs are still kind of finding themselves. Now, they have a better chance because it looks like they're going to have Chris Godwin back.
Yep, he's playing.
He's missed some time. And
Devontae Adams, I don't think he's playing.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
Maybe Packers? A big Gronk day.
Well, probably not.
I bet it's not.
So, all right, I'm gonna take the Packers. I think they've been the best team in the NFC. Bucks, I think maybe by the end of the year, this could be a better game. Maybe this will be a playoff matchup, which I think would be great. But for right now, give me Aaron Rodgers getting the better of Tom Brady.
And final pick, we've got Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, all active on the road, plus 3.5 Browns at Steelers.
Yeah, Odell Beckham, I think, got the squirts this week, and he was able to play.
Yeah, he didn't have the COVID.
Did he say it during a pregame show?
Probably not.
No.
But he was probably more excited about it.
Yeah.
So the Browns, what's the line again, John? Sorry?
3.5.
So Browns at plus 3.5.
Yes. They're getting 3.5 on the road against the Steelers. Man, I'd be mad if I didn't pick the Browns, but I also feel like I'd be mad if I did pick the Browns.
Mm.
I'll let you guys go first.
I'll pick the Browns.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I am. Oh. You know what? I'm behind. I know. Hopefully you pick the opposite, so there's some makeup room there.
All right. Jermaine?
Yeah, I'm going to go Pittsburgh on this one.
Yeah. Now, you pointed out to me earlier in the show, the Steelers haven't played anybody.
Right.
They haven't played anybody. But are the Cleveland Browns somebody? I'm going to say
yes.
That's a big question. I'm going to say yes, Fourier. I'm picking the Cleveland Browns. I also like the 3.5 points, so you have a little bit of wiggle room there as well. So give me the Cleveland Browns. All right, so those are our picks for Week 6. And that'll do it for this program today. So tomorrow on the Greg Hill Show with Jermaine Wiggins, you should have Cam Newton on.
Yeah, we should have Cam.
Starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. John, I assume we'll have James White Lawrence Guy.
Unless one of them goes down tonight.
That's true. And Bill Belichick will be on with OMF.
Joy.
So enjoy.
I do always enjoy Bill on OMF.
I love Jesus. It.
I told you, you got to.
The only one.
You got it because, listen, you got to ask him about the pauses.
The pauses are. Right, we got to go. Everybody enjoy your Sunday. We'll all talk to you tomorrow. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.